the stories you're telling about claiming. This weekend we were out of town because it was our anniversary, and so we were in Oklahoma City. And yesterday morning I was looking through the TV trying to find, you know, church service. And the one pastor, I listened to two different ones, but one pastor was talking about claiming things. And when his mother was sick and she claimed she was healed, and she looked terrible, but she claimed she was healed, and she never one time acted like she wasn't healed. And finally, after a few months, she became began to look the person that she should be as a healed person. And his warning was, do not pray and ask the Lord to heal you or to do this or to do that, and then in the very next breath you tell your friend, well, I've been praying about it, but I just don't know.
I don't see any results.
But pray and believe that it's going to happen, just like you're talking about
that
here this
Dottie
morning.
Osteen. I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
exactly. And he just gave several really good examples of that kind of faith to pray and accept that it's been done.
Yeah, she couldn't have surgery for some reason. And so she just had to go with raw faith. And God did it.
Praise God. That's where we are with Joe.
Yeah.
You know, they said they couldn't do surgery to get that tumor out of there. It was too massive. It was too wrapped around the aorta, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, man, if you can go into a brain, you can remove something that's wrapped around something. Why couldn't you do this? But anyway, that's what they said. So that's, we accepted that. And his
and maybe he wasn't supposed to have surgery because there's a reason.
Exactly. I mean, we know what happened with the last CT scans. The cancer tumors had reduced in size. The cancer was less in his bones.
Yeah, he's going to live every day, God
intends. Absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, let's go to these prayer requests. Today is kind of a sad day for prayer requests. We have three families who've lost loved ones. This first family is a family of Damian Gibson, 21-year-old son of Keila Watson and Corey and Kimberly Gibson. Damian passed away Saturday in an accident.
Oh.
How very tragic. Then we want to pray for the family of Brandon Underwood, who went to his final resting place this last week. And he was a neighbor and a friend to Monica, so this has been very difficult. And then we want to pray for the family of Johnny Bryant, whose services are today, and Johnny is Monica's cousin. So not only pray for Johnny's family, but pray for Monica, her mom, and her brother as they're traveling to Bridgeport, Texas, to his service.
Amen. Praise God. I want to add one to that. I have a cousin. His name is Tim, and he has hip surgery, and for some reason got infection in it, and they're talking that they're going to remove that hip joint and then wait 6 weeks and then put in a different one. But that's just really scary to think about, laying 6 weeks without being able to move.
And you shared that with us last week, and we prayed about that, and
we're believing
that infection is going to go away, and they're not going to have to go back in there and take that hip joint out.
Right, and see, he's been waiting like weeks. He's been waiting a long time for a bed, and they can't get a bed. And he said to me, maybe I'm going to be healed is why there's no bed. And I'm like, yes, sir. We're just believing. And I found scriptures that Dottie Osteen was quoting online, and she was reading them, and I text those to him. So God is building his faith. And I'm believing he's had a stroke also a few years ago. And why can't God reverse that?
Amen.
Why can't God undo his hand and undo his leg and give him, you know, let him ride his bike, his motorbike again. Mm-hmm. Let him live life with, you know, loving Jesus and helping people. And,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
Why not? So, Father, we come to you first for these families, Lord, that are so devastated today, Lord. Father, we don't know how to pray except just ask that the Comforter come, Lord. You're the only one that can help them, Lord. No one else, Lord, really knows how. No one has the key. No one has words. No one knows what to say. But, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know what to say. And we ask you to go to these family members and that you will comfort them, that you will touch them, that you will be real in their lives, God. And you will help them to know that you are real and that you are the Comforter, Lord. And if they will call on you, you will comfort them and you will just be with them in this loss, God, and you'll walk them through, God, the healing process, Lord. I just pray for each one of these families, Monica's neighbor's family and Monica's family who's lost this loved one, Lord, and also Johnny Bryant, his family, Lord, and also Damien's family, Lord. We just ask for them, Lord, that you, God, will just touch each family, the neighbor's family, Johnny's family, and Damien's family, Lord. I just pray, God, that you will be God in their lives. And today, that you will protect Monica as they travel, that you'll protect them as they come and go. And people, Lord, that are going to these services, Lord, that you will protect them and keep them. And, Father, I bring my cousin Tim to you, and we know nothing's impossible with God. The Bible says everything's possible to him who will believe. So, Lord, as best we know how, we're believing you to raise Tim up, to take away this infection, to remove it from him, God, that he's able to get up and walk. God, I thank you for totally healing all the effects of the strokes. And God, that you can touch whatever in his brain that needs to be rearranged, that his hands will work, his feet will work, because you are God. And there's nothing impossible with you. God, when I asked you for my ring, that was an impossibility. But you made it possible. And I give you praise for that. And if you can do that, you can heal Tim. And I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Do want to thank our sponsors now, and one of them is Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue. Apostle Casey Elliott will bless you if you don't have a church home. Check them out. They have Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning, church at 11, and then again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Then on Tuesday evening, they have a prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and Thursday evening, they have Bible study. And then the Refuge Church, which is non-denominational, is at 18410 Highway 152 at Sayre. That's 3 miles west of the traffic light in downtown Sayre at the corner of 152 and 283. So they have Sunday school at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday evening Bible study at 7, and Wednesday youth at 7. If you need more information, you can call Pastor Tammy Bailey at 729-0956. Now, if you head out there to that church, don't be deceived. 3 miles west of that traffic light is a barn on the side of the building, and in that barn is a beautiful little worship center where they have church and praise God. Now, let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another, and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired, and the mind drifts into the what-ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hello, hello there. Okay, something got pulled loose. Oh, my goodness gracious. Never a dull moment, but you know what? God is so good. This is the Hour of Power. Sister Judy Gifford is our guest today, talking about finishing well. And that's what we can do with the help of our Lord and Savior when we keep Him in our life, in our heart, on a regular basis. So I'm just going to turn it back to you, okay. Sister Judy.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell the story about Diamond Jim, and that I heard. I was so impressed with what God's mercies. You know, where we're landing, we're on this trip, and we're landing in a great destination. For us Christians, we're going to land in heaven. I mean, we've got a great future. God, Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man what God hath prepared for those who love Him." So don't you know, I keep thinking, God doesn't say it in the Word, but I keep thinking He took videos of how He made Adam and Eve. And because, you know, it's something that He already had created here that we figured out. If a man can figure it out, I bet you God already had a handle on that, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, I bet we could go in and check out videos of different things that's happened that we'd like to know about. And we're just not reading about it, but getting to see a video of it. And I'm like, God has so many neat things for us. But the deal is, we got to finish well. And we've got to make it. And I'm believing, and I have seen it when I was younger, but now I'm living it. I watch people lose spouses and different things, and I would always say, and go into nursing homes, and I would say, you know what? I think the last days are the toughest. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's true. Mm-hmm. The last days are the toughest. It's when we have all, but look where we've come. We've crossed the Red Sea, so to speak. We've seen the miracles. We don't have any excuse for not being able to finish well, because we can. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We should already have a good foundation under us that we can not have false fire. We shouldn't let our fire go out like the two Hebrew priests of Aaron's sons. Let the fire go out. And they got in a lot of trouble because they started the fire themselves. I'm like, and God called it false fire. And you know what? We've got to make sure that we keep close to the Lord. We're going to land this thing safely in heaven, this plane of our life safely in heaven. Then we've got to make sure we keep the fire on the altar. And it's not a fake fire that we don't. And Jesus talked about the virgins and how five of them made it and five of them didn't, because they weren't planning ahead enough, didn't take enough oil with them, they weren't ready. And so we've got to keep ourselves ready, knowing that you can see, the Bible says, when you look up in the sky and you see it's red and you feel the dirt's blowing, you know that something is on its way, some kind of storm's on its way. Then we should be able to look and see, can't you discern the signs of the time, Jesus says? Matthew 24 tells us a whole lot will happen. You go to 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, proud, boasters, blasphemers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Inconsistent, they're going to be heady, high-minded. They're going to be false accusers. They're going to be without natural affection. And I mean, it goes, and you can like turn on your TV and you go, yep, well, there's that one. Yep, well, there's that one. There, this one's doing that. And then you look, oh, don't get me started on leadership. I try not to look that way, even though it's affecting me at the gas pump and everything. I try not to look up and get any hard feelings in my heart toward the leadership, other than go, God, I'm looking up to you and I'm praying. That's all I can do. I can vote and pray. Mm-hmm. And that's the only two things I can do. But regardless of what's going on around us, here's what this story my son told yesterday. Instead of talking about Diamond Jim right now, I'm going to tell you about this story. My son, it wasn't my son that told me. I heard it from at the women's meeting yesterday. It's a story of a man, and whether it's a story or real deal, I don't know. But he was told as though it happened to him, so I'm going to tell it just the way he told it. He said he was going from, he was across in another country. He was going to go from one place to another. He's a lawyer, and he had a lawyer with him, and they were getting ready to fly. He had a ticket in hand and a friend that said, come fly with me. I have my plane. I've got it out here. I've got it ready. And he said, come fly with me. And I'll get you there. I'll get you there quicker. You won't have the hassle of standing in line or any of that. And finally talked him into it. And he said, okay. So they get up in the air. Everything's fine. He said, before we get up, I want to pray. He said, I prayed 5 to 8 minutes. And he said, thank God he prayed. And he said, it was fine going up. Takeoff. The takeoff was fine. We're in the air fine. And then we fly into clouds. And then the pilot looked at me and said, I pass out when I'm in clouds. I can't fly. So we were like talking about that today, my son, because he's a pilot. And anyway, but he said, the guy looked at him and said, I pass out in clouds. And he said, you can't pass out on me. And he said, before I knew it, that guy keeled back. His eyes rolled back in his head and he passed out. And he said, here we are in the air, two of us. And he said, we don't know what to do. We don't know the first thing about it. He said, we got on the, his friend got on the deal and started saying, hello, hello, hello. And someone then picked him up and said, don't you know proper etiquette and your telephone etiquette for the airways? And he said, no, I don't know anything. And our pilot's passed out. And he said, you mean there's two of you there and the pilot's passed out? Nobody knows how to land this plane? No, we don't know the first thing about it. And he said, well, let me connect you with the towers. And it got him to, and my son knew the names. What do you do? But anyway, emergency, you get them. Get them. And so he said about 5 minutes, this guy came on and said, let me understand, or you're in a plane, your pilot's, incapacitated. And yes. Okay. He said, now you've got to listen to my voice. Listen, you're not going to be able to see. You don't use your own intelligence or your own thinking, your own feeling. It's very important. You promised me you would listen to my voice. He said, okay. He said, he began to say, okay, you're headed toward mountains. And he said, you're going to have to make a turn or you're going to run straight in 6 minutes. You're going to hit mountains. And so he said, you start pulling. And he started telling him what to do. And he said, very carefully, he listened and he obeyed. And he said, then you need to do such and such. And he said, okay, now listen to me. Don't pay attention to what's around you. Don't pay attention to the clouds or storms around you. Don't look down and don't worry about it there. Just listen to my voice and do what I say. And he said, so I followed his instructions and he got us down on the ground. And he said it took about seven landings. But he said,
seven bumps.
Yeah. And he said, we got down. And he said, when we got down, that guy woke up and I wanted to kill him, you know. But he said, the man that was behind the radio there said, thanks for listening. Uh-huh. And thanks for paying attention to my voice. Uh-huh. He said, a lot of people decide they know better and they crash. And he said, and so it started to, he started saying, that's a way we do in life, is that we listen to this or that, or we're looking here and this voice and that voice. And we're just whatever, you know, and every place. And then, or we're using our own mind and, or we're listening to the enemy. But the Bible says that my sheep know my voice and they listen to me. So if we're going to make it all the way home, we need to learn the shepherd's voice and listen no matter what is happening. Mm-hmm. And this last story I want to tell you is about, it was on TBN, so, or on Daystar, so you may have heard it. But it was about a man named Diamond Jim. And I told you he was a self-made man, wouldn't pray. He had one thing going for him, everything he thought going for him. But in 2014, he developed a disease, and it was, he named it something Gary, starts with a G, and it
Lou Gehrig's disease.
It's not a Lou Gehrig's. It's something that causes pain in every fiber of his body. He can still move and walk and stuff, but it was such excruciating pain. And him being a pilot and had access to fly, he could get pain pills here and there and yon. So he took like 4 times the amount of pain pills. He said the pain was so excruciating. He said, like, I needed a belt by the bed so that I could bite it instead of scream. And he said it was that kind. And he said, you know, when you get this rush, you're hurting so bad and you take pain pills and then you get this warmth of release of pain. And he said, so he had actually gotten grounded from flying because of the disease, but he had a lot of, he had a lot of things, everything he wanted, but he was going to sell some of his land. And so he drove his pickup out to the land, and he was supposed to, actually the real estate wanted him to mark what part of the land he wanted to sell, you know, and mark it off. But he said, I didn't think I could even hardly walk over there. It felt so bad. And he said he found some pain pills. And so when he found pain pills, he reached in the glove compartment and found them, and he took them. And he started waiting for that beautiful release, that warmth. And instead, he said it felt like his feet were on fire. And he said he looked down to see why his feet caught on fire. And he said then it went up to his hands, and then it started in his chest. And then it was like the cab of the truck had water in it, and he was drowning. And he said all of a sudden he realized he's dying. And he said, this remorse came over me that I'd always ignored God. And he said, I called out, God, forgive me. Three words. And he said, then I slumped. I slumped over my steering wheel. And then he said, but then I sat back up. I felt good. And he said, I got out of the pickup. And I walked a little ways from the pickup, and I turned around and looked, and there was someone sitting in the pickup. The audacity, anger filled my mind. He said, how in the world? What in the world? He tried to get back over there to him. He said, it's like someone in a dream, you're trying to walk and can't. And he couldn't get over there to him, but he got close enough to see that it was him. He said, well, how can I be there and I'm here? He goes, well, I'm out of my body. Well, he said, being Diamond Jim, I could fix anything. So I thought if I could just get back in my body, I'd be okay. So he started trying to get back in his body. But he said there's this big gold circle, and it started sucking him up. And he said, a light, and it was a shaft of light. And he said, I didn't know the Bible, but I didn't know about the shaft of light. So I knew it was going up. And so he said, I was going up, and when I landed, he said, there's the most beautiful, lush green grass and rolling countryside and beautiful. But when you turn to the left, it turned brown and black, and then there was a drop off, a chasm. He walked over and looked down that chasm, and he could see fire. And then this monster, the only thing to put it, started coming up the side of that and saying, calling his name, saying, Jim, we've come for you. And he said, they knew my name. And he said, it's like a fox head that was salivating and losing saliva. And then it said there's like voices coming out of it of people screaming, like if it swallowed souls. And he said it was coming for him. And he turned to the beautiful side and yelled out again, three more words, God, help me. And he said, three pins of light. And being a pilot, he said, at 3:50 and 19 something, he was telling where they were coming from. He said, they appeared. Three angels. One of them was 8 foot tall. One of them was 10 foot tall. And one was 15 foot tall. He said, I realized later the 8 foot tall was my guardian angel and been with me all my life. He said the other one was a scribe angel, and he was writing everything down, had a paper and pen in his hand, and he was writing everything down. He said the other one was a warring angel with his war gear on. And he said he looked at that monster who was already scratching on my back, and he said he just gave him a flick of light. And he said that thing fell back and took off scurrying like a little rat and ran back down into that hole. And he said that angel put his wing around him, and he said such comfort and love and peace he had never felt. And he felt like he's where he's supposed to be, you know, like home. And he said he smelled tapioca pudding. And he said, I believe when we get there, whatever was good memories for us is what God, because my grandmother would make me tapioca pudding when I was a little boy coming home and walked in the snow and get home, and she'd have hot tapioca waiting on him. He said the angel said, let's walk. And a walkway appeared, and then they started walking down, and there were horses. And he said he went over and pet the horses, and the horses ran up to him. And he said he put his hand on him, his hand went into him. And he said, and then he pulled back, and the horse's flesh came with him away before it separated. And he said there was a brown one and a gray one and a white one. He petted the white one. And he said they almost were thanking me. I could tell with their attitude for being kind to their kind, because he was a horseman and loved horses. But anyway, then they walked away, and there stood Jesus. And he said, oh, the love that Jesus looked at him with. He said he'd never felt such love before. Also, in between there, before he saw Jesus, they took him on an aerial view of heaven. They didn't let him land or put his foot on it, but he saw aerial view. And, oh, they saw one building that was blue and pink. And he said, what's that building? And he said, oh, that's the nursery. That's where all the aborted babies come. And he said they grow 3 times faster than babies do on earth. And he said that's where they are till they're able to go out and play with the other children. And that's where they're taken care of, is in this. And our babies who die, you know, and or have disease or something. And he said that's where the babies are cared for. But anyway, he said when he saw Jesus, he said, oh. And he said Jesus put his hand up like this, not to come any closer. And he's like, oh, Jesus, you know, he just wanted to get close to him. And he said he had to put his hand up twice for me, because I wanted to get closer to him. And he said when he did, his garment went down a little bit, and I can see the nail prints right here in his hands. And he said, no, Jim, you have to go back. He said, I didn't know they were going to send me back. And he said, I didn't want to come back. And he said, please let me stay. I won't be any trouble. And he said, I don't know why I said that. But he also said, you don't think of your loved ones when you're there, really. You think, oh, well, they'll be here by supper time. Because time's different then there. And so you just think, well, they're coming. They'll be here later. So you don't miss them because they're coming, you know. And so anyway, he said, Jesus said, Jim, you have to go back and tell others what you've seen. We've shown you this so you can go tell others. And so he said the angels literally had to pick him up, because he was falling at his feet begging. And he had to pick him up. And it said still he was doing like this with the angel, and turned around one more time to beg. And he said Jesus was gone, and there was an angel, a big angel that spread its wings out like, you're not coming through here. The big warring angel. You're not coming in this way. So he said the passage back wasn't that fun. It was cold and dark. And he came back through and into his body. And he said he set up. And when he set up, the nurse took off running. He said it was 11 hours I'd been dead. But he was still hooked up to everything to keep his organs alive, because the kids hadn't seen him yet. And so his wife wouldn't let him undo him. And so he had all his organs intact and everything. So he sat up, and he said she got up on the bed with him, his wife did. And he said, Jesus, I saw Jesus, and he has horses. Uh-huh. And he said, I don't know why I said that, but he said he has horses. And he said, that's what I'm doing here on TV now. I'm telling. So the TBN lady, not TBN, the Daystar lady, has just lost her husband last few months, you know, for 6 months ago or something. And so she's real interested in what's going to happen in heaven. But, you know, the Bible, as I quoted earlier, it says, I've not seen, ear not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So, see, it's worth it all. My daddy used to sing a song just as it's time to go, isn't it? Just before church was over, here's what we would sing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. We got to land well, people. Mm-hmm. We've got to keep on keeping on until we hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can do it. You just got to do it intentionally. You can't just think, oh, it's going to happen if I do anything. No, you got to get into the Word. You got to read the Bible. You need to pray. You need to go to church. You need to visit. You need to do. You need to take time for Jesus and invite him. And I'm going to say a prayer with you before we go this time. Mm-hmm. And this is a prayer that my husband, I would go, here it was so cute. When we finished we resigned the church. Well, my husband had, we had a prayer room specially built. He designed that church, mm-hmm. and he took it to architects, and they built up in one end of that tall building, this unusual shaped building, is a prayer room. The other end has a baptistry in it. But anyway, my husband would go there and pray every day, every day. So when we resigned, he looked at me one day at the table and said, "Where am I going to pray?" And he said, "I wonder if the community church would care, because that used to be our church and we sold it." And he said, "I wonder if they'd care if I'd go down there early morning and pray." And then he said, "They wouldn't want me banging around in their church, you know." And he said, "Well, I wonder if Grace Temple would let me come, you know." And he's thinking, and then he said, "Well, I can pray in these back rooms, you know. We have two back bedrooms." And so we'd go in there and pray. And when he would go in there and we'd kneel and pray, here's what my husband would say. He'd kneel. Sometimes he'd kneel on both knees, sometimes just on one. And he'd say, "Jesus, come live in me. Jesus," and he'd say it several times, "come live in me." And so I'm going to ask you today to pray this prayer with me. And you can bow your head or you can just look. So I'm going to look you in the face and I'm going to say this. And I'd like for you to repeat after me. Would y'all repeat after me in this room today? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I come to you.
I come to you.
And I realize I'm a sinner.
And I realize I'm a sinner.
That needs a Savior.
That needs a Savior.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
That you bled and died and rose again.
That you bled and died and rose again.
For my sin.
For my sins.
I believe you're sitting at God's right hand.
I believe you're sitting at God's right hand.
And I come to ask for forgiveness.
And I come to ask for forgiveness.
Come live in me, Jesus.
Come live in me, Jesus.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
I give you my heart and my future.
I give you my heart and my future.
I lay my family in your hands.
I lay my family in your hands.
And I believe you're coming again.
And I believe you're coming again.
When you do.
When you do.
Take me with you.
Take me with you.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
Build faith in my life.
Build faith in my life.
And help me to be faithful till death.
And help me to be faithful till death.
Thank you for salvation.
Thank you for salvation.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I agree with Joel Osteen. If you said that out of a sincere heart of prayer, reaching to God, your name's just being now written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Judy. A great lesson that you have brought today. We appreciate you so much. We always learn a lot from what you bring, and I know that you are in the Word, you are on your knees, and God is with you all the time.
He's faithful.
He is faithful. From me, Neva, from Sue, from Sister Judy, have a blessed day. We'll see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.